as I have been praying and thinking about this day, preparing us for Thanksgiving, I'm going to share just a few verses out of the book of Ephesians. So if you want a title, you can call it Thanksgiving from the book of Ephesians. That's about as original and flashy as I could come up with. So, but this morning is really, it's going to be such a simple, basic message. Something that I pray, I hope many of us, if not all of us, think about this basic thing every day. These thoughts every day. So this will not be anything new, but it's something that as the holiday season starts, as we are entering, coming this Thursday, we're entering this season of holiday, that we will, as we are with our friends and family members, that we will be focused. I feel very heavy-hearted all the time, especially right before Thanksgiving, for my own family. As we gather together, at least my side of the family, as we all gather together for Thanksgiving, I feel very heavy-hearted for family members and things that they are going through. And so I want to try to focus us together, me included, get our hearts in the right direction and our thoughts in the right direction. As I was talking to Carl last night and even this morning, which Miss Sherry's doing very well, and all the tests are coming back okay, and they don't really know what happened, and they're, you know, she's got a test today, but she's probably going to come home today. And so continue to pray for Carl and Miss Sherry. But Carl told me this morning, because I was sharing with him what I was going to share with you guys, and he said, you know, all night it encouraged me to focus in on Thanksgiving. And so I hope and pray, my prayer is that we will do this together as we prepare for the holiday, to take the gospel to our family, to our friends, and to start praying right now for those people, some folks that you've already thought about, you're thinking about right now, that you are going to see and you're going to spend time with. And I want to remind you of a brief line, phrase, but a very powerful phrase in our covenant that we've taken with each other here at our church, that when you come and join, you take this covenant with the body. And this is the phrase that it says, that we would seek the salvation of our family and our friends. That we would seek this and use opportunities to take the gospel to them. And maybe it's one person that you're thinking about. Maybe it's a couple of people. Maybe it's one prayer that you can have or be with someone, or one, that one time of prayer as a family. Maybe it's one word or one deed. Whatever it is, just for us to now, start now, if you hadn't already, to prepare for what you are going to do, taking the gospel. You know, you might be surprised what would happen, even to the roughest, hardest, most gruff person in your family. Clarice, I can't help but think about Frankie. And when you took the gospel to Mike's brother. And I mean, Clarice was just bound, and she said, I'm just going to tell him. And it's time. And what happened? I mean, Frankie repented and got right. And the Lord, he was diagnosed with leukemia, and there weren't very many days that the Lord gave him left, but the last days of his life, months, God did a wonderful work. It may be that one person. It may be a family. I don't know, but you know, a friend that you're going to spend time with this week. But to take the gospel to them. So with this, and with this in mind, I could not help but to think about my own life and my own family. So looking back to the past of my life, I couldn't help but think about the graces of God in my life. And I thought about, of course, Ephesians chapter 2. That's the first passage that I'm going to read and then make comments from. But in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to just read the first five verses. It says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Amen? The redeemed, the called out, those peculiar people, as Scripture would say, the elect, the saints of God, Christians, believers, whatever, however you want to label it, this is our story. This is all of our story. That we were once like the dead. We were dead, and we conducted ourselves. And no matter, even if we may have been a little moral or a little bit more moral than some others, we were all dead in our sins. But for God and by His grace. And we can all in this room that are believers can sit and think how spiritually darkened our lives were. Amen? And because we had this veil, because we were had this darkness that we lived in, that we dwelt in, and we walked and we carried ourselves, we were morally dark, morally bankrupt. Even the good things that we did were for us. Were for some way our good pleasures. We were spiritually, morally bankrupt. And now, we have the light of grace that shone in our lives. I cannot help but think about my own family, my parents, my sister, and the great grace that was shown on my family. There's no way that I deserve this, and there's no way that you guys have deserved it. We were not smart enough to figure it out. We really weren't. And there's some smart dudes in this church, but they were dumb in their spiritual bankruptcy. And there's some hard workers in this church, and we couldn't work hard enough to earn it. Amen? And it wasn't even luck. It wasn't that you were lucky enough to run across it or to fall in it. That had nothing to do with it. It was solely the grace of God. No way can we touch it or claim it. And when we start doing things like, look what I have done, look what I have accomplished, look at my family, look at my marriage, look at what's going on, look at all the good, when we start and it turns into us, we're touching and claiming the grace of God. When the truth is, we were dead and Christ made us alive. We were dead and God redeemed us. Amen? So looking back at the past is a good exercise. And like I said, I know we probably, I hope and pray that there's some moments in every day that we think about that. God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for calling me into this relationship of grace. But in this season, and especially coming up on Thanksgiving, what more to be thankful for than salvation? I mean, really, what for that God has justified us, that He has called us into this relationship, that we're reborn. What more is there? Is there something that we could be more thankful for than that? I know not of. There's a lot to be, but to be in that relationship with the Lord, to be redeemed, truly must be the greatest blessing and gift of all. So looking back to the past, I think, is a good thing. And I think we need to also look at the present. Today, our blessings and the thankfulness of today. Let me read you one verse. A verse that seems... And quite often in Reformed churches, we read past this verse to get to the good verses, what we would say are really good verses, chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. So we would read past verse 3 to get to 4 and 5. But in verse 3, it says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." It's interesting, if you look at the Greek construction in this verse, it's present tense. That He has blessed us, folks, Christians, the peculiar people, the royal priesthood, the elect, the saints of God, listen to me. He has blessed you and I with every spiritual blessing. Do you know what that means? That means we need to stop right now and think, Lord, if this is true, right now I have all that I need. Amen? Everything, if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, what you have right now, this day, this moment, is everything you need. Because that's what that verse says. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He's given it to you. We lack nothing. Now you may sit back and go, wait a minute. There are some things. I've got a list. We really lack for nothing. Amen? He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And praise God, as our confession says and as the scriptures plainly teach as believers, He has not left us in our sin and misery. Amen? Guys, you don't have to act like you once acted. You don't have to live like you once lived. He has not left you in that state. He has not left you in your sins, in the misery that that accompanies sin. He has not left you there. Amen? That's wonderful news. I think all the time. I grieve and I hurt when I'm getting to know somebody and helping somebody and working with somebody. And I think, and I always will leave and go, Lord, thank you that I don't have to live like that. He doesn't leave us in our sins, in the misery of this fallen world, in the misery that our sin and our transgressions, the things that we do, He doesn't leave us in that state. Our minds are not darkened anymore. We don't have to be in those situations. As Romans 8:28 says, He makes all things work together for good. Amen? So as Missy was singing even this morning, these hidden mercies, these hidden graces, that sometimes with tears in our eyes and brokenness of heart, they're really God's mercies in our lives. Amen? We don't have to have marriages like the world has marriages. We don't have to live like the world lives. We have been set free. We can find rest, true rest, in the Almighty. We can find strength in our Lord. We can have faith, but faith in God. Amen? We can find joy in complete brokenness. We can find comfort in our lives. We can find all of these things in our many trials and in our sufferings of life. We can find this. Do you know why? Because this is not our home. This is not our residence. We're only here temporarily. This is not our home. And so in this present life, you and I, as believers, we have everything we need, which truly is Christ Jesus. Amen? That's what it's really saying, is that truly as basic and as, I mean, you can't get more rudimentary than this. All you need is Jesus. Like the foreman in North Carolina many years ago, Bruce told me, "Son, I don't know what your problem is, but you need Jesus." And it was like someone pierced my heart. Listen, this Thanksgiving, pagans and God haters, they should be giving thanks, because God is gracious to all people. There's a common grace that He gives to everyone. If someone is sucking air, that's God's air. If their heart is beating, it's because God has said, "Your heart is beating." If they enjoy, even though no matter how temporary it may be, good food and time with friends or family, that's God's blessings. So God, there's a common grace that God pours out on all people. But there is a special, effectual grace for His elect, for His people that He has redeemed, and He has made them, He has called them into relation. There is a special relationship. We are His children. Even the bad children here. And if Rodney was here, I would make fun of him right now. But even the bad children, you're still His. And there is a special, effectual calling, grace that He pours in you and I. And we really lack nothing. So there is a present grace and thanksgiving. But there's also a future grace, a future thanksgiving. And I'm going to read this passage, and I want to read it to you, and I'm going to explain something that in this passage, I think the best that I've looked at it, I need to look at it some more. I think it's one sentence. I didn't get to ask Bill about it this morning, but I think it's one sentence in the Greek. And it's in the aorist tense, which means it's something God has done in the present to carry out for the future. He's done it now, but He's going to do this. He's going to push you in the future. But you kind of miss it by just reading this. So if you have that as a background, that, okay, He's talking about now, but it's really what He's going to complete in us. He's going to continue to do this work in us. So it's an aorist tense in this, I think, one sentence. But in English, it's more than one sentence. So let's read it. I'm going to read it to you. Starting in chapter 3, starting in verse 14, I'm going to read through 21. It says this: "For this reason," Paul's writing through the Holy Spirit, and he's saying, for this reason, the reason that he mentioned abovehand, right above it, which is Christ dying for him and calling them into this relationship. Okay, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So he's saying, because of this work that Christ has done in my life, I'm bowing my knee and praying, and the whole family. Only, he's saying basically, only Christians understand this. Only the family of God can get this. So, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that I would, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is in that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You know what he's praying? This prayer, if you want to sum it up, and it's a prayer, Paul is praying that all the believers will know the fullness of God. That your relationship with Christ Jesus will be so rich that no matter what this world brings, no matter with pain and suffering and tears and joy and happiness, no matter what this world brings, that you'll know the fullness of God. Amen. I want that in my life. When I'm worried about my children, and my time's coming to worry about my grandchildren. Amen? Cap, do you worry about grandchildren? Oh, well.
I'm concerned.
Concerned. Okay, all right. A little semantics right there. Are you concerned about great-grandchildren? So it doesn't stop. Are you concerned, Bernice? When I was talking about tending to your land and that some of us need to be in the back 40 cleaning up our land and our own home, Miss Bernice stopped me in the back and said, there's some back 40 work that I need to do in my family. That was a few weeks ago. But he's praying that we would know the Lord Jesus so richly, so fully, that no matter what the world brought, no matter what came in our lives, we would go forward and know Christ. This future grace, because our home is not here. And there is a home that we're heading to. Believe it or not, that's a lot better than here. No more pain. No more suffering. No more death. The greatest thing is, guess what? no more sin. I was talking to Sonny earlier this week, and we kind of made a joke. We were being serious, but we were making a joke. And he said, well, I'll see you Sunday. And I said, Lord willing. And he said, that's right. And I said, maybe Jesus will come back before Sunday. And Sonny said, man, would that not be great? And I said, Sonny, you would have a new back. And I would be skinny. And we laughed, cut up. And then I started thinking about Tim Brock. Beth, a buddy of mine that I grew up with that got in a car accident in high school, being dumb, and didn't even break his back, but bruised it, and is in a wheelchair. But knows that God put him in that wheelchair so that he can meet the King of Kings. And Tim has made a joke, and We laugh about it. He said, man, when I get to heaven, I'm going to walk everywhere. Y'all will come by and say, hey, Tim, come on, we're going. And he's like, nope, I'm walking. I'll meet you there. He said, I am going to walk and run. And he said, but I will be with Jesus. So no more pain, no more suffering, no more death, no more sin. And we will be complete in Christ Jesus. There will be no more defects in body and character. And we will be home. Amen. Do you know why you as believers have this divine discontentment? Because you're not home. Do you know why there's always this grind? I mean, we live in a fallen world, absolutely. And there's sin around us, and there's sin in us. I mean, like Romans chapter 7. I believe that's not pre-Paul coming to Christ. We struggle with sin all around us. But why there's always this unsettledness, always searching, always striving, always, because we're not home. But boy, howdy when we do. Amen? So as you're focusing on Thanksgiving, and as you're thinking about your family, friends, people that you're going to spend time with, focus, start praying, start asking God right now, how do I interact with these people? How do I do this? Lord, what am I supposed to do to take the gospel to the world? And let me say this very quickly in closing. I know this might be the shortest sermon I've ever preached. Ever. And I'm sure Carrie can tell you to the minute where I'm at. But in closing, I'm going to say this. And I'm going to just pray for us, Kurt. Is that okay? Is that all right? Okay. Without Christ, it is impossible to truly, truly have gratitude. You can be happy. You can have a temporary happiness. You can have a temporary good thing, you know, being joyful about something, but it is only temporary, and it's bound to your flesh and to this world. But with Christ, we as Christians should be the most thankful people on earth. Amen? Who should be more grateful and thankful than us? Really? Who should praise and give thanks to God and tell the world how grateful you are than us? So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask God to help us. Because I know some of you guys are thinking right now, I don't know if I can share Jesus with that dude in my family. I don't know if I don't like him or her. What? How do I do this? I'm going to ask the Lord to help our family that to use this as we do every year as we pray to send us out to our friends and our family. And let's use this holiday season, this tool, for gospel purposes. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for salvation. That you have done this great work. That you have gathered your people together. That you have done this work in our lives. And Lord, that you have people all over the world. Your people that you've called out. That you have brought into this relationship. And Lord, we confess sometimes in these holidays we lose sight of the most important thing. We get caught up in the busyness and the work, and we really lose sight of what it's all about. So Lord, I'm asking for this on behalf of the Motley crew, this group of believers that you have brought together here, that you would help us this holiday, this Thanksgiving, to take the greatest gift to our friends and family. That you would press upon our hearts even now those people that you want us to talk to and share with. The words, Lord, we need words to be able to talk to them. Lord, help us to go out and share about what you have done in our lives and what you have done to many. Lord, do this work. Lord, help us to use this time for your honor and for your glory. Lord, to take this message that's so dear to us, the thing that's probably closest to us than anything else in life, that we would take this, maybe with tears in our eyes, to our friends and family. And Lord, we trust you with the work. You do your bidding. You do your work. Help us be obedient to your calling in our lives. And Lord, we trust you that we believe what your word says, that your sheep will hear your voice and they will come to you. And that when you're lifted up, you will draw all men unto yourself. Lord, we believe that. Please, Lord, help us. Grant us repentance, Lord. There's some of us here that are afraid. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us. There's some of us that have just been disobedient. We've been hurt in the past, and our pride, we can't get over it or let go of the grievances in our lives. We're bitter. Lord, please grant us forgiveness in that. Lord, some of us are just mad about a situation. Help us to let go of it. Use this time, Lord, for your honor and glory. Thank you, Lord. We pray again. I thank you for Charles. I thank you for what you're doing in his life. Lord, equip him and make him a godly man that loves you more than anything else in this world. Help him to stand up for what's right. Use this in his life for your honor and glory. We thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Young men, we need help. Gene's going to open up the back door. And if you could help us bring down Christmas tree.